One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Have your Bible turn with me to that wonderful believer's gospel, the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. I believe the Lord gave me sometime the last week a message that you need to hear tonight, and you'll help me by listening real good and praying. Chapter 3, there was a man. God has always dealt with the human race through men. He started off with a man. When he wanted a lawyer, he got him a man. When he wanted a judge, he got him a man. When he wanted a king, he got a man. When he wanted people to write the Bible, he called a man. And when he wanted a prophet, he called a man. When he wanted a preacher, he called him a man. God, in his book, said there was a man sent from God. He looked down and saw a wicked city named Nineveh, and he said, I need a man to go. He called Jonah to go to Nineveh. In this third chapter, we're going to be dealing with two men. And let me say this. I believe God is our father, not our mother. The Bible told about the Holy Spirit said when he is come, not she. And you know, when you preach like this, some people say, well, I believe he's prejudiced, not just toward the book. And tonight, we come to deal with a man. I'm glad this man got interested in what Jesus had been doing. George Washington Carver said, black or white don't make me no difference. I got a job to do for God. Was it Mark Twain that said, if a man can build a better mouse trap or preach or a better sermon or write a better book, though he build his house in the woods, the world will beat a trail to his door. And you know the story, don't you? George Washington Carver, he took two of the simplest things, the peanut and the sweet potato. He made 150 commercial uses out of the sweet potato and 300 commercial uses out of the peanut. Mr. Carter would be mighty proud of him. And so, by that time, they beat a trail to his door, the big wigs. Oh, the engineers, the important people had come. Mr. Carter was sitting in his simple room. George Washington Carver, excuse me, was sitting there. They said, Mr. Carver, we've come to ask you some questions. He said, yes, sir. I'd be glad to answer them if I can. They said, you've taken the sweet potato and developed 150 commercial uses You've taken an ordinary peanut, many people call it a goober, and you've developed 300 commercial uses. We're here to ask you a question. How did you do it? Mr. George Washington Carver, and I'm glad to call him Mr. I'd be glad to call him brother. He looked over and pointed at the old black back book. That puzzled these fellows to pieces. They said, of course, we've read the Bible. We've got a fairly good knowledge of the Bible, but we've never seen anything in the Bible about the sweet potato and the peanut. Mr. Carver smiled and said, no, sir, you don't find it as such, but as I read the Bible, I met the man that made both of them. He told me what to do with them. And that's it. Oh, I feel sorry for these educated idiots. I feel sorry for a man that doesn't have anything but a degree in some sort of subject. Knows a lot about psychology, philosophy, and a lot of other things that won't work. But there was a man born at the wrong time, lived at the wrong, and yet he turned out to be just exactly right. And so, don't be too excited if you drive down the street and see the big sign saying, George Washington Carver School. They got them named after him all over this world. Let me tell you something. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And I'm talking about the real who with a capital W. That's Jesus. Oh, we're talking in this generation about everything. Now let's read chapter 3, will you? There was a man, Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God, and I hadn't seen this before, be. Brother, until you find a God that can be, you're never going to get anywhere in this life. He said, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be. And there's my text. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for miracle honey. How far he came, I don't know, don't care. Why he came at night doesn't make me a lick of difference. The main thing is he came. That's more than a lot of people. They've never come. And you'll never find out about this wonderful bee until you get to Jesus. Come any way you can, any time you can, but come. And so he said, you must be born again. Now in the book of Hebrews, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now then, I want to share with you the story of seven bees. One of the most wonderful inventions the Lord ever made was a bee. They're having their struggles out in Arizona. Millions and millions and millions got killed because of the poisons. I'm sure the bees are looking desperately for a survival kit. Our bees in the valley die, I suppose, by the millions. We have some 300, 400 colonies of bees. And if we keep them in good health, and that's important, when those bees get the proper food and can breathe the right kind and can find the sweetness that they need, they'll make from 1,000 to 2,000 gallons of honey every year. Now Nicodemus came and said, I'm interested in your miracles. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be. That's it. That's the most important be that I know anything about. I'm going to give you seven. Number one, the first be is be born again. Now forget about all the rest of them unless you're willing and have been born again and washed in the precious blood of Jesus. That's number one. Jesus didn't say you ought to, I wish you would. He said you, and he put that two verities. He said, verily, verily, you must be born again. That's where life comes. We talk about 20/20 vision. No such thing apart from being born again. You know what he said? He said, Nicodemus, until you're born again, you can't see. You have no vision at all. You have no kind of vision. Except a man born again, he can't see. That's the reason we're not to be alarmed and too upset and disturbed or discouraged about the people that don't understand. Anybody could understand a bag of garbage. That's natural. Anybody can understand things that you can see. But brother, the things that you can't see, you got to have your 20/20 vision in order to see them. Pilate said one day, what is truth? If I'd have been standing close, I said, there he is. He's standing 3 feet from you there. You don't recognize truth when you see it. The second B is not optional, but obligatory, and that is be filled with the Spirit. There's been a heap of confusion, and that's normal. Who was the most confused man for the world, see? They called him the son of Beelzebub. They said he's a wine bibber. He's a beer guzzler. That's what they'd call him in modern parlance. They said, why, this fella, he casts out devils in various, and he's this and that. Who were they talking? Jesus. You'd say, what right did they didn't? They just didn't understand. You know the two people that misunderstood Jesus? You know who they were? The state and religion. Is it any difference now? Huh? Not a bit. I said religion didn't understand. They looked at him and said, we go by Moses' law. We do not accept this new plan of yours. His wasn't a plan, it was a new man. And so he said in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Wouldn't that solve our problems? Really, if I had me a 5-gallon bucket here and it was completely filled with honey and it weighs 60 pounds, honey's heavy. And it's 4 pounds heavier than a gallon of water. I mean, when the bees put it together, they put it together. I mean, if it's strain honey, that's about the heaviest thing that you can get. And so, but if I had a 5-gallon can here and it was completely filled with honey, I wouldn't have to worry about anything else being in it, would I? Now, here we go. If we, including me and you, were completely filled with the Holy Spirit, the devil wouldn't have any place to unload his merchandise. If our warehouse is filled with good things, I know what the devil will come. He'll come along, you know, and he'd say, well, he said, I've got something you need. I really have. Look at him and say, you're a little late, old buddy. I got all I need in Christ. I mean, haul it. If Christ is all we need, then why would we let the devil unload something of his? And so he said, be ye filled with the Spirit. You say, Brother Olaf, I'd like to be filled with the Spirit, but I'm scared of how I'd act. Why? You'd just act like Jesus. You'd love like Jesus. You'd praise like Jesus. You'd love everybody. You wouldn't have any criticism. You wouldn't be hard to get along with. I mean, you could take a lot of criticism and give none. I mean, that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. You say, what do you believe the three outstanding fruits of being filled? Love, joy, and peace. It's not hard to tell when a man's filled with the Spirit. He's got some fruit coming along behind him. The only person in the world that can tell you about God the Father and God the Son is the Holy Spirit. There is no conviction. There's no conversion. There's no continuing apart from the Holy Spirit. He's the only God there is in the world. May I suggest something to you? Especially in your private devotions. You get through the day, or even begin the day. You get through your praying, would you say, I want to thank you for my Heavenly Father, and thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the Holy Spirit. Have you ever just thank him? And then I want to thank you for the Word of God. And then fifth, I want to thank you that other Christians are going in the same direction I'm going in. We're going to have fellowship today with them. Brother, I tell you, I guess maybe I know with the help of the Lord I could make it by myself, but I sure would hate to tackle it, wouldn't you? Boy, I tell you, if everything in this building got up and walked out and said, Brother Olaf, we never will see you again. Help yourself. Do what you want to do. Boy, this would be a lonely place. I'd be looking for somebody else before tomorrow night, I tell you, to come in here and fill up the dormitory. Folks, it's wonderful to have other Christians. I mean, nobody has a monopoly on God. And so he said, be filled with the Spirit. There's a third B. Be ye kind. You know what I thought last Monday morning when I walked out of the workers' meeting? And I'll say it now and may say it again. I wish all of y'all would be as kind to each other as you are to me. Now, you talk about that would be the life, wouldn't it? People are so kind to me and so thoughtful of me. Now, I know maybe there's somebody out there, in the edge of the Jimson weeds that's talking and jabbering and carrying on, but I never find out about it, and I ain't got sense enough to believe that you'd even do it. Now, I don't worry about it. I really don't. And my mother used to say, well, if they're talking about me, they're letting somebody else alone. But it sure would be nice if all the girls would be kind to each other. And you will. I mean, sometimes a little girl comes in, or a boy, and their mind's in a whirl, and they're having a hard time thinking, and they just need a lot of kindness. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, these are wonderful bees, and let's let them buzz. All these bees will make honey. And then there's another one, and that's be patient. Yes, Brother Olaf, just be patient. Lord, give me patience, you say. And the next morning, tribulation rolls in. Lord, I didn't ask for that. You asked for patience. I know it, but you sent, he said, tribulation worketh patience. Yes, dear friends. God can give you patience. All of you girls, young people can have patience. When you get saved, you have access to all these things that God has in his warehouse. And whatever you need after you get saved is in heaven's will call department. And they're not in the down payments to make. They're already paid for. Be born again. Be filled. Be kind. Be patient. Number five, this, I think, sometimes is a scarce bee. Be thankful. Boys and girls ought to be taught to be thankful. All of us have so much to be thankful for. And by this time next year, we'll have a lot more to be thankful for. I doubt if there's anybody here can imagine what's going to happen. The next 12 months. Number six, be holy. Boy, that's a strange being. I got a lovely letter from a Nazarene friend a while ago. He's a great Christian, loves the Lord, and he had a wonderful experience of just being burned out, sin being burned out. Jesus came in many years ago in his fullness and blessed him. And he went to his pastor and said, I'd like to give my testimony. And the pastor said, no, you can't give that kind of a testimony here. He said, I was afraid that what happened to you. But the man's been living an overcoming life. But this is what he said, Brother Olaf. My Nazarene church is drifting. That's what you hear from everybody, Assembly of God, Baptist, all the rest of them. They say, Brother Olaf, we're not what we used to be. Isn't that sad? In the worst time in all the world for people to backslide, people lost by the millions, religious but unsaved. Oh, how we need the right kind of spiritual honeybees. Well, I was by myself, as I am most of the time, and I got to thinking. I visited a beehive, and my imagination began to sort of run. When I got to the beehive, they were having a lecture. And the lead bee was talking about the importance of education. You must finish high school and get a college diploma, or you won't be able to be the right kind of a bee. I thought, that's interesting. One of them got up and brought a message on the need for honey. Said, this world needs honey. Another one got up and said, we've got to be very careful about pollination. I'd like to bring my message, and I specialize in pollination. We carry the pollination from tree to tree, and we increase the crops of the dear people who have the various fruit trees and orchards and all the rest. And we're in demand for the purpose of pollination. I thought, well, that's sort of an interesting message he brought. Next one got up and said, I'm speaking on separation. I'm against, and I want to warn you about running with dirt daubers. Now you ought to be separated and dedicated. If you're going to be a bee, act like a bee. Stay away from dirt daubers. They haul too much dirt. And I was listening. And they keep on going. Next one got up and said, I'd like to bring my message on the importance of making something sweet. I'd like to suggest and urge you, let's stay with honey making. Another one got up and said, I'd like to speak on the various flowers. How beautiful the flowers are. Like to talk with you about getting up early, working until sunset. Another one got up and said, my main business is to speak on flying straight. Just don't circle around. Go straight to where you're going. Come on back. Doesn't that sound modern? Did you know if a bee circles, they die before they get back? Did you know that? Did you know if they get off of the bee line, they never make it home? Did you know they only carry enough fuel to go straight to where they pick up the nectar and come straight back? And if they buzz around and visit every Tom, Dick, and Harry, they'll die before they get back. You know that? One got up and said, I'd like to mentioned to you that if times get any worse, We're going to have to get in the honey line for food stamps. Just thought I'd let y'all know that if some of you get to where you just don't want to work, we got a plan for you. Nothing speaks on retirement. Now, you have to be so old and have worked so long before you draw your Social Security. One of them gets up and speaks on group therapy. One of them gets up and talks about the danger of FWI and losing your flying license, flying while intoxicated. I remind you, you'll lose your flying license unless you stay sober. Queen bee, now she's some person. The queen bee, her main business is to have bees. I mean, she stays home, but without the queen, you know, I do not know how many, but her main business, and she's the one that mothers the bees. They respect her. And no colony is complete or can operate without a queen right in the home. She's got to be right there. You don't find the queen bee out running to political parties and meetings. She stays, she lives and dies right in her colony. And every bee shows tremendous respect for her. She doesn't flirt with a bumblebee. No. A bumblebee's got the loudest hum, but he makes no hun. Fact is, the bumblebee's called the mystery bee. I went through school and they said one day in the class that the bumblebee is so built and his wings spread is so small and his body so big that scientifically he is unable to fly. But since he doesn't know it, he goes right on. I guess in that case, ignorance is bliss, isn't it? My visit to the beehive, I didn't hear anything about strikes. I didn't have one of the bees to get up and said, now, we're going to begin our labor union. We want all of you to join and pay your dues. I didn't hear that. I noticed that the bees did one thing. They stayed busy, and the bee is always looking for one thing, and that's something sweet. He's looking for a clover field. He's looking for some beautiful blossoms on an orange tree. He doesn't go in and eat them up, tear them up. He goes in and very tenderly gets that sweetness. Leaves everything intact. Wherever he goes, I talked to Brother Smith a while ago down in the valley, and he said, Brother Olaf, sure smelling good down here now. The blossoms are coming, and the bees. There wasn't any lecture on an 8-hour day. They had it understood that when daylight comes, they're out and gone. You know, when they quit, dark. Bees make their honey in the daytime and go to bed at night. Now, I know they got a night shift. They've got an air conditioning bunch. They have to keep the temperature at 92 degrees all the time in their home. Did you know that? You know how they do it? They've got air conditioning bees that stand still and buzz their wings just like that. And it stirs the air. And they don't have a thermometer, but they know how to do it. 92 degrees in the beehive. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'd like to be a honeybee Christian. I'd like to be busy. I'd like to fly straight. I'd like to be loaded with something sweet. And I know you'd say, well, and of course one of them could have gotten up in the meeting and said, well, unless I can find me a semi and take bigger loads, I don't think I'm going to do it. One of them said, now, this business of flying 25,000 miles and working all my life and pulling up one teaspoonful of honey, that's not enough to count. And I'm just not going to. Little old bees were out and said, I'm just so glad I can make a teaspoonful. They say I'll work a life. And what if some of them, and this is the truth, and this would solve our labor problem. Bunch of them sat over there, you know, and their wings all flopped down. And they said, well, we're tired of hauling honey for a bunch of people that had rather drank beer and liquor and everything else. And I'm just tired of working. I'm just going to be through. And a little bit I looked, and I saw this dead as a bee could be. They killed him. The queen bee said, get them drones and kill them. Wouldn't that solve the problem in America? They said, we don't intend to work. What's the last bee? I'm through. This is one we hear a lot about, but we've not learned the secret like we ought to of how to develop this kind of bee faithful. Oh, it's easy to get up and take a gospel stick and beat our dear old people over the head and our young people and say, be faithful. I mean, just be, get with it. I mean, just be faithful. Listen, the way to be faithful, number one, is to be born again. Number two is to exercise and apply the faith of Christ that he gave you. Then you can be faithful. It takes more than joining the church, and we're fixing to go up in the baptistry now to baptize a lot of people. But they're not going to be faithful unless we can feed them. Did you know that a bee has to eat? Oh, they have a hard time sometime during the winter months. And you have to take some of the things that they've worked. Did you know you can take honey out to the bees, and if you leave that honey in there, they'll live on it. I mean, before they just die, they'll live on that honey. They're going to have something to eat. And I think that the Lord wants us to eat a little of what we produce. You don't produce, you don't eat. And so, as I close the message tonight, I simply say to you, the harvest is truly white, laborers are few. And Jesus said one day, say not 4 months, then comes the harvest. Behold the grain ready now to yield. We better work while it's day, for the night soon coming. Just look again and see God's needed harvest field. It's harvest time, harvest time. The Savior's calling, the grain is falling. Oh, do not wait, it's growing late. Behold, the field is white, it's harvest time. Let's stand together. You don't have to lecture to a bee to make honey or be busy. My imagination did injustice to the bees, because they just get up and go to work and work until they die. And may I say this? Even though they've got a stinger, they never use it unless somebody interferes with their honey making. And then, of course, they die. When they sting somebody, they sacrifice their life to protect their honey home.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.